So I want to talk to you today about, continue our series on freedom. Today I'd like to speak about freedom through surgery. Put your hand up if you've ever had surgery. You've ever been in hospital and you've had to have surgery. Wow, that's about 80% of the people here today. And who's never, ever been to hospital? Put your hand up. Wow, 3 or 4 people. That's about it. So most of us would generally, don't even ask. The staff asked me the other day, actually, how many times you've been to hospital? I don't even remember. I had over 100 stitches when I was 12 years old. Yeah, so anyway, that's a whole other story. One day you'll hear about it because generally they come out when I'm speaking at some point. But freedom through surgery. So this is an interesting passage that I've spoken, going to speak about in Matthew 11. And so we're going to go there in a second. So if you want to turn to it, Matthew 11, first 15 verses. So because we're talking about surgery, I had a look at some interesting testimonies, true stories from some doctors in the emergency department in hospitals. And so I thought I'd share this one with you because it particularly took my, well, it was funny. Okay, so so here we are. He's a doctor from, obviously we can't say names, but here's what he said. Guy comes into the emergency department with burns on his lower extremities. His shoes are charred and the bottom of his pants are definitely burned away, but his skin isn't so bad. He had been trying to use a propane-powered weed burner in his yard, think flamethrower, and things got a little out of control. I smelled alcohol in his breath, so I asked the guy if he had been drinking, and he looked me directly in the eye and said, "No." I got drunk just standing next to him. It was a once-in-a-lifetime setup, and I couldn't help myself. As straight-faced as professionally as I possibly, I said, "Liar, liar, pants on fire." The paramedics all turned at once and ran out of the room. They were laughing so hard. The patient just stared at me. He was so drunk, it went totally over his head. So this year, we have been focusing for the main part on the theme, freedom. Who knows that we can have freedom through the Holy Spirit and we don't need to be that drunk. But it was funny. Is that okay? All right. So Matthew, Mark, and Luke are referred to as synoptic gospels in that they include many of the same stories, often in similar sequence, sometimes even identical wording. So in this respect, Matthew 11 corresponds with Luke 4, the passage we have been speaking about, Luke 4:18. So you'll see it as we read together. So New King James Version. Now it came to pass, Matthew 11 verse 1, when Jesus finished commanding his 12 disciples that he departed from there to teach and preach in their cities. And when John had heard in prison about the works of Christ, he sent 2 of his disciples and said to him, "Are you the coming one, or do we look for another?" Jesus answered and said, "Go and tell John the things which you hear and see." Verse 5, the blind see and the lame walk. The lepers are cleansed and the deaf hear. The dead are raised up and the poor have the gospel preached to them. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. As they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What did you go out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken by the wind? But what did you go out and see? A man clothed in soft garments? Indeed, those who wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what did you go out to see? A prophet? Yes, I say to you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, 'Behold, I send my messenger before your face, who will prepare your way before you.' Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he," listen to this, "he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than." And from the days of John the Baptist until now, one of Charlie's favourite verses, I'm sure, "the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied unto John, and if you are willing to receive it, anyone willing to receive what God is saying this morning, anyone willing to open their hearts up and believe what God is going to do to transform us and help us do life better. And so you will receive it. He's Elijah, he is to come. He who hears and hear, and he who has ears to hear, sorry, let him hear. All right. A few years ago, some of you may remember, I had trouble with my foot, my right foot. It was painful for me to stand still for any length of time in one place. So when I was speaking for about half an hour, it was so sore. It got to the point where I had pain just walking along. I went to the doctor, who recommended I go and see whom he considered to be the top foot specialist in his field here in Perth. And he himself, when I went to visit him, was actually had a cast on his leg, and he had a similar injury. And he goes, "It was really good, Nigel. So go and see him." And so the surgeon actually, when he did the surgery, he didn't expect to find what he found, because he said, there's just a little bit of damage, we can sort it out. But when I got in under the surgeon's eye, he found that some of the marrow had become infected in my foot. And so he took out a piece of bone completely out of my foot, in the middle of my foot, about a centimetre by a centimetre. And he gave it to me in a little, specimen bottle. You know those plastic bottles you get? And so every now and then, I would bring it out and show Jared and Sarah. And Sarah go, "Ugh, Dad, don't do that. That's horrible." And I'd every now and then just bring it out. I've now thrown it away because I've lost it when I moved. But I had it for about a year and kept it there. And what I'm saying is I didn't just have the surgery and then I was fine. Everyone that's been in hospital knows that there's a recovery period, right? And I had to strengthen the muscles again in my leg, in my ankle area. I had to wait over a month. Now, we were living in a house then. Many of you would have been to our house. There's a lot of stairs and we live upstairs. Our kitchen's upstairs. I had to, for a whole month, on my bottom, down the stairs, up the stairs. Anyway, my right foot is now like new. It feels better than my left one. And I never get any pain. It's brilliant. It's so good. I'm thinking maybe I should get my left one done too, just for the sake of it, even though I don't know if there's anything wrong with it. Just so I can feel the same, so I don't have to feel it, So the surgery was a complete success. I have full freedom through surgery. And today, my desire is to show you that when we stay on God's path, we will gain His freedom more and more in our lives. Can anyone say, yes, that sounds good? And so He works on us little by little, until we become as good as new. John the Baptist has some reservations about whether Jesus is the Messiah from his prison cell, and so he asks a couple of followers to check him out. Jesus says, "Go and tell John the things you hear and see. The blind, they see. The blind, the lame, walk. The lepers are cleansed." All right, the oppressed are freed, dead are raised, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. Now, Jesus to John, this is my language, like Jesus just says all that. That was his nice way of saying it. "Do you really need to ask if I am the one? Do you really? Your freedom is in the complete knowledge that He is the one." Can anyone say, yes, He's the one? And so, you and I have situations we have not fully surrendered to God in our life. And as we've heard from Melanie, she is now free because she's tithing. She understands that, she gets it, and God is blessing her. And so I was to give that illustration, I think it was must have been a little while ago. We had a 90-day challenge. I think it was last year. And, I don't know if I should do that. There's a wrestle going on. All of us have been in this situation at some point. May not be about giving. It may be about something else. And I don't know. And then you just decide, you know what? I'm just going to trust God. That's where the freedom comes. And so today, there is freedom through surgery, the Jesus way. Who'd like to be free the Jesus way? And so Matthew 11 verse 6, blessed is he who is not offended because of me. And so the word offended in the Greek is closest to a word called scandalon. It was so contrary to expectations of the Jews that they rejected him and their salvation. They thought him to be in error. And in some respect, John was taking offense. In the last 1,500 years, there has been an increasing indifference to Jesus. And in the Western world, never has there been more people offended by Jesus, often offended by his brutal death, offended by his statements, offended by the truth of his word, for the most part, because people do not like to change who they are. And so you and I live in this kind of world, yet we must recognize through the work of Christ in our life that he is Lord. Who's Lord of your life today, church? Jesus is Lord of our life. And so we may live in this world, but we are not of this world. And the more we see things from his perspective, the freer we become. And so Jesus says in this passage that there are three kinds of people who inherit his kingdom: the poor, the violent, and the least. It is people who are open to me that will find me. Can we be open to hear what God has to say through his word? Can we be open to God when he speaks to us? I was talking about last week. When we have those little ways that you know that he speaks to you. Can we open our heart up a little bit more this morning and receive some of his freedom? And so the poor, the violent, and the least tells you what we have to be and what we have to do. So let's talk about the poor for a moment. Chapter 11, verse 5, the poor have the gospel preached to them. The poor have the gospel preached to them. So the Greek for gospel is good news. Is anyone glad that they have Jesus this morning? You know, can we be a little bit boisterous? You know, I think if we were in sort of like an Afro-American church, people would be standing up and going, I'm so glad I've got Jesus. You know, is anyone pleased they've got Jesus today? Come on. We might be white folk, but come on, let's give him some praise when it's due, hey? And we're not just white folk here, so come on, Africans, help me out this morning. All right, so good news. He's good news, right? He's good news. And so many of us would know this. However, let me explain what the word gospel meant to the majority of the people at the time this was written. An announcement. The gospel was an announcement of an historical event that brought a new, joyful, wonderful order of things. Caesar Augustus, the first emperor of the Roman Empire, he reigned from 27 BC until 14 AD. And one of his famous quotes was this: I found Rome a city of bricks and left it a city of marble. Gospel. He's proclaiming good news. Before Caesar came into power, a bulletin went out. This is what it said. This is the beginning of the gospel according to Caesar Augustus. It meant it was the beginning of the new order of things. It was an announcement of good news. Another way the word gospel was used was when an invading army was stopped in its tracks. the gospel went out, the announcement of the good news to all the areas of the Roman Empire. The question is this: why does Jesus use this term? And the history around the founding of Christianity is far more important and significant than any other religion. Buddhism began about 2,600 years ago. A prince called Siddhartha Gautama left his royal upbringing, sorry Indians if I got that wrong, royal upbringing behind after realizing outside of his palace there was great suffering and death. Gautama left his royal family and sought out enlightenment as he sat under a tree for 6 days. He learned about life and what he believed to be happiness and salvation and spent the next 45 years teaching what he had learned under that tree. Muhammad was the founder of Islam, born 571 AD, Mecca, Saudi Arabia. It wasn't until age 40 that Muhammad began to have a revelation from Allah, which became the basis for the Quran. Before that time, Muhammad was a merchant, a wholesale trader. Jesus uses the term gospel because good news is always an announcement about something which has been done. Good news is not teaching alone. Good news is not ethics alone. Good news is not a discipline alone. Is anyone glad for the gospel of Jesus Christ today? And so good news is something which has been done for you and for me. And so with religions such as Islam and Buddhism and pretty much every other religion out there, it is how a person learned about life and salvation. But with Christianity, the historical events are the way of salvation. Jesus came in the form of God, but made himself into man. It's why he's called the Son of Man. He came into a verse. He identified with us. He came into our history. Oh, thank you, Lord, for who you are in our life. And so the poor get this. Is anyone glad they're no longer poor in spirit this morning? And so they get it. I was lost, but now I'm found. The criminal on the cross got it. Can you forgive me, Jesus? Today you will be with me in paradise. And so the gospel for the poor helps them to make wise choices. Anyone glad they can make wise choices no matter where they've gone to school? Jesus helps us with that. And they can overcome their poverty. They can actually grow into a whole different person because Christ frees you and I. And so the poor couldn't break free, but through Jesus, they are free and it's amazing. And so you can follow the teachings or you can follow wholeheartedly. 95%, interestingly enough, look this up, 95% of the Roman Empire were poor at the time of Jesus. And they got it. It's why the gospel was so hard to halt in its tracks. So the poor, those on the poverty line in the Roman Empire, understand the grace of God. The poor got it. They could give control of their lives over to Jesus. They understood better than the educated what Jesus had done for them. The poor understood that Jesus became the atonement for their sins. The poor got the incarnation. Only God could send his son to die on a cross. The poor understood the resurrection, that only Jesus has the power to free us from death at once and for all. And so it was all good news then, and it's all good news now. Here's the thing. If we say what's important is just the teachings, what we mean is, I don't need a savior. I just need an example. And you and I need intervention from God if we're going to be saved. The just shall live by faith. That's intervention from God in every area of our lives. Ongoing. Who knows that today you're going to say you're going to be a good person and you're going to do this thing, and before the end of the days you've messed up. Is anyone grateful for their salvation today? The gospel ripped through the Roman world because it picked up the needy from the ash heap. And the poor have the gospel preached to them. And the truth is this, the way you can tell if you have religion or the gospel is the poor. Religion will always leave out the poor. I have come to set the blind free. I have come to set the oppressed free. I've come to help the lame walk again. It's the poor and those who recognize they are poor in spirit who will find Jesus. And the first test that you are a Christian and you have met Jesus is that you have hope and love for the broken and the downtrodden. It's why we will always commit our time and resources to our community and to Leap into Spring. And in order to do this regular surgery, it requires that our hearts do not become prideful, arrogant, and who knows, the only way to do that is to keep going back to Jesus every day. And it's why the Pharisees struggled so much. There is no class structure in the kingdom of God. Amen. Second, the second test, the violent. This is a great verse. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, verse 12, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. So Jesus is saying the kingdom is violencing and the violent receive it. It could be translated, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence or suffereth violence. And it could also be translated, the kingdom of God comes violently. One thing is sure, only the violent will receive it. Is anyone able to be a little bit violent for their God today? We're not going around punching one another, if that's what you're wondering. We're not going around, you know, if they're not a Christian, we, like Charlie was saying earlier, bang, bang. No. But there's something really important about this word. So let's, you'll get it in a minute. The violent will receive it. And what this means is, for you and for me, that the gospel upheaves everything. The gospel upheaves everything. Things you thought were okay, because the gospel upheaves you. If I am who I say I am, if I am the Lord of history, does anyone believe he's the Lord of history today? In the beginning there was, and not just a teacher, not just a nice guy. And when we know Jesus as Lord of all, we know Jesus as infinite. And the only one who knows all the stars in the sky, the hairs on our head, the only one who is abundant in strength. And so you may ask this question, will Jesus help me? It's not the right question. It's not that Jesus doesn't have the power to help you. It's whether help comes or not, you are his. Thank you, Lord, that we are yours. Jesus is saying, because we're talking about surgery here, when you invite me into your life, everything changes. Your priorities will change because he is now central in your life. You may have had that particular group of friends, but you can no longer just have that group of friends because you need people who are going to help you establish yourself in the faith and in the kingdom of God. And so there are people that are going to help you and be positive in your life and not pull you down. And so it's far-reaching. The gospel is far-reaching. And so if you're really going to open up with Jesus, you have to recognize that he is all-consuming, all-encompassing, and everything will change. You can't invite Jesus into your life to be your secretary. You can't invite Jesus into your life to be your consultant. Oh, I've got this problem today, Lord. Can you help me out? You can't invite Jesus into your life to make you happy. Obviously, this is all part of it, but it's not the only thing. You can't invite Jesus into your life as a source of wisdom alone. And you can't invite Jesus into your life and not meet with other brothers and sisters. And you can't invite Jesus into your life and never go to church. And you can't invite Jesus into your life and never serve. You can't invite Jesus into your life and never give a cent, because the gospel changes everything. Is anyone glad for the gospel of Jesus Christ on their life today? It changes, and so it's violent, right? I mean, we mean business with God. And it doesn't matter what's said about us. We know that Christ is the way. And so it's very important that we get this. Jesus suffered violently on the cross. He shed his blood. He suffered at the hands of sinful men. And he did that for you and for me. It changes who we are when we understand the lengths that Jesus went to for us. There will be violent upheavals in our life because you can't take the bits of Jesus that you want. Your feelings play less into the equation when he is Lord of your life. So when Andrea and I moved to Frio 24 years ago, might have been a bit longer actually, the decision was not based on what God could do for us, but rather what we could do for the Lord. I haven't always felt like this, but on this one, I'm just saying I'm normal. I don't always feel like it, but hey, if you're going to be a pastor and start a new church from C3 Hepburn Heights, then you better know it's God, right? And so when we moved, we said, yep, we sold out for it. I had to provide for my young family, and these were the days where we didn't have campuses, we didn't have any kind of monetary input, so I had my own little business going for many years to try and while the church was trying to grow. And so I was doing church work and my own business simultaneously. Yet it was through, I must say now when I look back, it was through the violent upheavals that God changed me. We were in unfamiliar territory. We only knew one style of church, and it wasn't working at all in Fremantle. At the time, East Fremantle Tennis Club. We had to totally change our outlook on perception on what we thought, because it was Fremantle. We had to have different eyes. And both Andrew and I were tired a lot of the time. Our children were unsettled and struggling, and we left our old life behind, including a lot of our relationships that we'd formed. And the text also refers that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. Suffers violence. Jesus is not asking you to do anything he hasn't endured himself. And most of us would think, because of our geography, we can have a nice life and Jesus. But the truth is, this is not the heart of the gospel. There was great violence surrounding the death of Jesus, which brought about divine justice. And you and I are going to have times in our life where we are nailed by God. Is anyone up for a bit of nailing from God? Because I think this is a really important thing. I don't remember ever speaking like this before, but it's the truth of this part of the passage. If we are really going to be impacted by the gospel, there are times when we are nailed by God. I've been nailed by God recently. Is anyone else? Yes. It's part of the journey of growing in God. And who knows, that doesn't matter how mature you are, God can still nail you. And when we think that we've got it, we know that we haven't got it. God's good at that. And surely if he's Lord, we have to have some surgery by our Maker to become more like him. So what I haven't told you about my foot injury is that I persevered in my own strength for around 2 years with an infected piece of bone in my foot before even going to the doctor. It was causing me immense pain and I still didn't go. And Andrew goes, "Will you please go to the doctor?" There is a surgical process God uses over a period to set us free from the things trying to infect and poison us. because he knows that he can't do it all at once, because he has to work with who we are. And in that, I'm grateful for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And once I had the operation, I kept the piece of bone, as I was saying, and it was a great, became quite funny. Anyhow, we are living with stuff in our lives that God's desires to do surgery on. And here's the thing. Now it's gone, my piece of infected bone in my foot. What a relief. What freedom and mobility I have gained in my life. It's remarkable. And Jesus says, I have come to you suffering the violence of the cross and death. All I'm asking you to do is suffer the violence of life surgery. Learn how to be appropriate. Learn how to be sensible. Learn how to be wise. Learn how to be sweet. Lord, give me more sweet. Give me more nice. No, I don't want that one. Give the patience to Avena. And lastly, if you missed it, you need to watch. Anyway, that's you can watch watch the pod, listen to the podcast. I don't know if we can video. We're videoing it these days. Anyway, the least, last point. Matthew 11:11. Assuredly, I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist, but he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. So Jesus is referring to the fact that the lowliest member of the kingdom of heaven, the most humble and God-serving, is greater than the greatest man who ever lived. It is upside down to the normal way of thinking in our society. It is the amazing beauty of the gospel. He has come into history itself as the gospel. He is the good news. It is why it doesn't matter what class we belong to, what we know or don't know. The kingdom of heaven has cut violently across human logic and lifestyle and reached down to the lowest of the low. And when you and I get totally that Jesus has made us righteous in his sight, I don't know how words describe it except wow. Wow. There is the scalpel of the Holy Spirit working through our lives to help us with our own pride in who we are, how small we really are, and how great God is. If the music team could come, please, that'd be awesome. So we needed God to reach down into our lives. It was the only way. And John has some trouble because, as Jesus mentions in verse 14, John is similar to Elijah. And if you are anything like me, because as Avena has quite rightly said, I'd lack patience. Just blow them to smithereens, Lord. Just get out of my way. Burn them all, Lord. That's what Elijah said. Wipe them all out. Is anyone glad for the gospel today? Why don't we stand to our feet, church? You see, God's going to come in his way. In a way perceived as weakness. Christmas is not that far around the corner. He started his life out as a little baby in an insignificant place. What could ever come of Nazareth? And so Jesus says, I come down in a different way. Will you understand the gospel today? The worst and weakest person, God understands. The greatest, mightiest, God understands. Can we be willing, every single one of us, to recognize that when we accept the gospel of Jesus Christ today, then we accept what he has done for us, that there is a freedom that comes into our lives That is quite different from any other thing that we can do, because we are releasing ourselves into God's hands, and He alone has the power to change you and I. He alone puts us on a path of life surgery. And what we think and how I'm going to get better, it's going to be okay. I thought that for 2 years, but it wasn't okay. But the surgery was successful. And God wants us, every one of us, mature Christians right now, to understand that we go through life surgery. Hold on to God no matter what you're going through. Can we do that as a church? Hold on to Him. But also today, there may be people here who haven't received Jesus, the gospel, the good news. And so while we're standing here, I'd like us all just to raise our hands if you would. Reach out as if like you want to receive something from God today. And I want to pray a prayer for all of us to invite Jesus into our life. It doesn't hurt to do this every week. Say, Lord, I'm yours. Come into my heart afresh today. I receive you as my Maker, as my Lord. I repent of my past, of all my wrongdoing. Please become my Lord. Through your name, the name above all names, the Lord Jesus Christ. I receive you into my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. And with every head bowed, eyes closed, I'd ask you to do something for me if you've not done that before, and you say, "Yeah, I want to receive Jesus as Lord of my life." Will you just raise your hand and I'll see it, and you can pop it down again. Raise your hand, I'll see it, you can pop it down again. That's me today. Thank you, Father. And today, those of you who've been away from God and you know your time is right to come back to Him, accept the gospel. Accept what He has done for you. Don't live in two camps. Don't be lukewarm. It's time to come home. If that's you, just raise your hand. I'll see it. You can pop it down again. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. Lord, we're so grateful for who you are. We're so grateful for the gospel. And that you suffered the greatest violence for us. And we receive afresh your goodness into our life. Download into our heart today. And we thank you, Lord, for the truth of who you are.